Father, we stand in awe of who you are, what you've done, and what you're doing, and what you're preparing us for. We thank you that you've established a new shift, that you've established a new direction. And old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Coming new. Oh Lord, help us to relinquish those things. Help us to relinquish those things of comfort. Help us to relinquish those things of tradition. Help us relinquish those things that attach us to fears. So that the old will be passed away. Oh Lord, sever us tonight from all entanglements and affairs of this world. Loose us from every emotional attachment of people, places, and things. As we repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, we repent for every area where we've come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. We repent for every area of rebellion, stubbornness. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness tonight. Please, wash us with the blood of the Lamb. Purge us with your presence and fill us with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Come. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Bring fresh revelation, fresh impartation, fresh presence, fresh power, and fresh truth. That your anointing would be established in us and through us. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just call his name. Call on his name. You can feel his presence here tonight. Jesus. Lord, heal your people. Bring revival. Bring unity. And establish us for your glory. Jesus. Jesus. Make us so that we're not moved by anything, but we're immovable. Standing firm in our foundation in Christ. Standing firm in the truth. Standing firm in who you are and who we are in you. Standing firm in every area of our life. Submitting to you. Resisting the devil. And surrendering all to your feet. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug tonight and tell them this is your night. Hallelujah. Would you turn to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. Ooh, yeah. John chapter 1 and verse 1. You know, I can only tell you that there is a shift in the spirit that has happened a few weeks ago. And sometimes when the shift is spoken, it begins to establish, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're in it yet. So there, in this area, where there is cooperation with the Spirit, and the shift in the Spirit. And in the shift in the Spirit, I really believe in this, that God is empowering us even more and more to come to the end of ourself. I really believe that there's going to be a point where nobody will get prayed for. I believe that you'll lift your hands to heaven and get healed. I believe we're getting closer and closer to this point. I believe right now God is beginning to prosper. We're fulfilling his word, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. In fact, the wicked don't even know what to do. Their pockets are being drained left and right while the righteous are beginning to prosper. And I believe that it's going to increase more, more, and more. And the reason why the increase is because God is releasing more of his presence, his power, and his truth, which is the anointing. His presence, his power, and his truth, which is the anointing. Has everybody got this? And we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight. It's called the presence, power, and truth. And I really believe right now that it's in the shift in the spirit, in the area of coming to the end of yourself, that the more you come to the end of yourself, the more you'll hear God. Is everybody with me? The more you come to the end of yourself, the more you'll have clarity. The more you come to the end of yourself, see, you don't have to promote yourself or promote who you are. if you're really walking in the Spirit, you should be dead to yourself. In fact, self should be behind you, not in front of you. And in this, God is beginning to heal more. I really believe that there's going to be a melting of walls of denominations, where even those that don't know the Spirit are going to meet the Spirit. They might not know what to do with them, but He'll know what to do with them. He's going to break a lot of this religiosity and foolishness. I really believe that the Word of God is going to become so true and real to many people in all these areas that they've missed it. And that there's going to be a lot of repentance coming down in the body of Christ. And those have been preaching, once saved, always saved, will come to repentance. And those have been preaching, coming against the anointing of Christ, will come to repentance so that they can receive the anointing in the body of Christ, so will come in unity. I'm telling you, when God releases His anointing, there isn't anything you can do. There is nothing you can do. The whole thing is you want to be in position. You want to be in position. He doesn't give to anyone anything, hello, unless they ask for it. But there are people who have been asking for years, oh God, more of you. Oh God, more of you. But they've not repented. There's certain things in their lives that have been preventing. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And I really believe that as they begin to ask more and more of Him, that He's going to begin to open and convict even more. Because the Spirit brings conviction. I really believe that a lot of people are going to get delivered and healed who've been waiting and waiting and fighting. See, there's an area of pressing in. There's an area where we've got to press in. And He's going to reward those who do press in. Is everybody okay? And John 1 and verse 1, would you read it with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. See, darkness cannot comprehend light. That's why if you try to tell somebody about Jesus, sometimes they can't get it. Amen? There are even believers who you try to tell them about the anointing and the power of Christ and so forth, and they don't get it because the blinders are still there. They are removed by the anointing. So everybody got it. So in this, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the purpose for the Word was to communicate. Was the what? Communicate. So God in the beginning. Now listen, for God there was no beginning. Do you understand that? But in this arena, He's saying in the beginning of what? In the beginning of His creation, in the beginning that He established the universe, because He is the Alpha and the Omega, He is the beginning and the end. And where there is a beginning, there always is a end. But for God, there is no beginning, there is no end. Does everybody understand that? But there's a beginning and an end, and something that He created, He pulled out of eternity and called it universe. And He established a time period. And this time period was a place of training, a place of raising up. Can you imagine? I want you to think how cool He is. He created billions of stars, billions and billions of stars, Milky Way, I mean, all kinds of galaxies. Come on, think about it. All for what? For you. He set everything in motion in time. Everything had to be perfectly precise. Stars have to burn out at a certain time. All planets have to rotate at a specific speed and have a certain pitch to them. Everything has to happen perfectly, perfectly to maintain this earth so that He could establish His offspring. Now, I want you to just step back and look. Look all the way through. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures of the Hubble telescope that's up in space. I mean, some of those pictures will blow your mind. Blow your mind. And God established this whole universe and everything so that He can have offspring. So He's not a cheap God, is He? He doesn't hold back nothing.
Come on, man. He created the whole universe with millions and billions of galaxies, stars, planets, and everything moves perfectly just for me and you. Go to verse 14. And in the beginning, he set a way of a communication called word. And the word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we know that this grace doesn't give an individual legal right to go out and sin. Has everybody got it? In other words, the Bible tells us anyone who willfully goes out and sins can expect a judgment from God. And they trample the spirit of grace. So in this, he's saying, this grace, he came with the fullness of grace. The fullness of grace in truth is, grace is the plan of God to escape Satan's deception and God's wrath. Has everybody got it? No. Your obedience to this plan will bring freedom and favor. Has everybody got that? Okay, and of course we know truth, because the plan is truth, isn't it? So he came with the plan, with the grace, which is the plan to escape the deception of Satan's kingdom and the powers of darkness, and to escape the wrath of God. Because if you don't escape the deception of darkness, guess what you're going to fall into? The wrath of God. Is everybody all right? So we know that the Word became flesh. The Word became what? Now, this was the eternal Word. Now, I want you to understand that God was establishing a way of communication for His creation. Now in this, remember, God is not bound by space and time, is He? He always was. And He always will be. So in this realm, now we're going to go a little deeper tonight in this area, but I want you to understand so that you know where we're at right now and what's going on. And in this right now, we are talking about the area where the presence, the power, and the truth of the eternal God Almighty is called the anointing. Now, that anointing, the truth, the presence, and the power of God Almighty put on flesh and came into the natural realm, didn't he? He was called the Christ. He was called the what? The Christ. The Christ is the eternal presence, power, and truth. Is everybody with me? It is the eternal presence, power, and what? Truth. That is the anointing. His presence, His power, and His truth is the anointing. So everybody got it. Now, I want you to get this, because this is not something that you read about. This is a person. This is a what? A person. The eternal presence of God, the eternal power of God, and the eternal truth of all things is a person. He's called the Christ, who came into the natural realm. Now, He came from a timeless place. Is everybody with me? He came from where? A timeless place. And He entered into a place of time. In fact, when He chose to come at a specific time and everything was set right, He even passed the 12 constellations that were written about Him, beginning with Virgo, which meaning virgin birth, ending with Leo, meaning Lion of Judah. So even He passed by His own writings in the heavens to come into the natural realm. Is everybody with me? I want you to begin to allow your mind, your imagination, to expand more so you can receive more. We must start taking off the limitations of the carnal reasoning, of the carnal understanding, in the carnal way. We must begin to release these limitations, because God is speaking through to his people through dreams, visions. He's speaking through them through thoughts and imaginations in a mighty way, but they must be cleaned by the blood so you can receive more. Is everybody okay? Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Are you ready? Settle up. Buckle in. In Ephesians 4 and 17, would you read it with me, please? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world or Gentiles walk. In the futility of their mind, in other words, limited. Has everybody got it? Limited. Having their understanding what? Darkened. Well, if your understanding was darkened, isn't it limited? Amen. Being alienated from the life of God. I want you to highlight that word, life of God. Because the life of God is in the anointing. Are you with me? The life of God is in the anointing. And what is the anointing? The presence, power, and truth. The eternal presence, power, and truth is the anointing. So the life of God is in the anointing. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart or their spirit, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now watch this. He confirms what he just says. He says, but you have not so learned the Christ. You have not so learned Christ. In other words, you have not learned the anointing. The word Christ means anointed one and is anointing. So the word Christ is a representation of the life of God that came into the natural realm. The anointing. The anointing is the Christ, and the Christ is the anointing. Are you with me? He is the life of God Almighty. That's why the Bible says the Spirit gives life. But you've not so learned the anointing, or you've not so learned the Christ, or learned about it. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Now I want you to understand that he's talking about Christ, the anointing, as a person. Who is this person? God Almighty. Who is the eternal presence, power, and truth. Who put on flesh and came into the world called the Christ. And the world called him Jesus. Are you listening? He is the life of God. And this he says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? Jesus. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. With what? The anointing which carries truth. So that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the life of God is the anointing. His presence, his power, and eternal truth. Which came in Christ from the timeless realm. He came in the form of a man in the presence of time. Are you with me? I'll repeat that. The life of God is in the anointing. Of course, the anointing is presence, power, and truth, which came in the Christ from the timeless realm in a form of a man into the presence of time. The Christ, the anointing, of course, eternal power, eternal presence, power, and truth, willfully allowed himself to be taken captive by time. To be taken captive by what? By time, to set mankind free from the bondage of time before their time was up. Now get this. See, eternal arena has no time, does it? So here the timeless one, who is the life of God, the presence and power and the truth of all eternity, all that was, is, and ever will be, chose to put on flesh and come into a place bound by time. And he came to set the captives free who've been bound by time Hello? So they could escape time because time comes to a what? An end. Has everybody got this? Because their time, before their time is up. Has everybody got it? So God has been trying to rescue, the anointing has been trying to rescue me and you before our time is up. So we can escape time. Now, I know that this may be a little bit difficult, but I want you to know that hell is also eternal. But in hell, it's an arena of time. Why? Because your flesh burns off and comes back on. Your flesh burns off and comes back on. And see, they can't wait for the flesh to burn off. The problem is it comes to an end, but it keeps repeating itself. That's why they live in torment and torture. Does everybody got it? But for me and you, in eternity, there is no comprehension of time. It just is. Hello? There is no day or night. It just is. There's no rush. There's no alarms to get up with. There's nowhere you have to be on time. Because when you got to be there, you are. Hello. You know, I mean, doesn't it just want you to say, forget this place, man? Hallelujah. The Christ called Jesus is the carrier of the almighty, timeless, or eternal presence, power, and truth. Go to verse 32. Now, it says what? And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, where? In Christ. Forgave you. God where? In Christ. The eternal, almighty, whoever was, whoever is, the timeless one who came in Christ. Is everybody okay? Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And verse 26. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were what? Baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now I want you to understand he's not talking about the baptism of water. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of water is a remission of sin. It's symbolic. That's why Jesus commanded everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we could be baptized in Christ. Now, what is Christ? He is the anointing, isn't he? He's the anointed one, and his anointing, he carries the anointing, and the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. See, one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. He doesn't want you to know about the anointing. See, that's why the battle's in the mind, isn't it? Because if he can convince you in the mind, as a man thinks, so he is. But we're going to change that tonight. Because the devil's a loser. And he's already lost. Now we got to carry the victory. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. This is powerful. So he's talking about the baptism and the anointing. You're putting on the anointing. Has everybody got it? So when you are baptized in Christ, you put on Christ. You can't put on Christ without being baptized in Christ. Hello? Galatians 4. Go to verse 19. What does it say? My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until what? Christ is formed in you. What was he doing? He was trying to get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. In other words, what are you doing? Don't get religious on me. Why are you going backwards instead of forwards? You know, people, even though you've been baptized in Christ, can go backwards and not forward. And now you got to maintain that anointing. Is everybody okay? Go to Acts 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded, he what? He commanded. He didn't ask them. He commanded them. He commanded them. Do you understand this? This is a command for every believer. Everybody who believes, receive Jesus as Savior. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that allows you to receive Him as Lord. Are you listening? Because you can't give up a life without the anointing. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It was a command. And in verse 8 it says, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So it was a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are baptized now with power. For what? Because His presence and power will express His truth. His presence and power will express His truth. That's why Jesus came to do miracle signs and wonders. He was expressing His truth. Is everybody okay? That's why He commanded us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the beginning. Now you must maintain the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, God will baptize you more than once with fire. Hallelujah. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5. I've been baptized in fire a few times, man. Let me tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, oh, hello. We just said you had to be baptized in Christ to put on Christ. If anyone is in Christ, and what's Christ mean? The anointing. It's His presence, power, and truth. He is a what? Well, why is He a new creation? Because He carries the presence, the power, and the truth of all eternity. Oh, if we could just comprehend that. And it says, He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, why don't things become new to an individual that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They do become new. But then they get convinced by the devil because they lose the battle in the mind. Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. That's eating of the word and drinking of the spirit. That's eating of the word and drinking of the spirit. Why? So you can feed your spirit. And then there's the area of obedience, isn't there? Just because you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and praying tongues and so forth and all eternity is in you, your cooperation and obedience is essential. You can't just lay down all of your weapons and all your armor and everything else and expect to follow Christ. It ain't going to work. You have a part to play. You can't sit in front of the TV and twiddle your thumbs for the rest of your life and expect the anointing to be there. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus the Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at this. That is that God was where? in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Wow. So listen. The Christ that is now in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, is now desiring to reconcile everyone around you to the Lord. Everybody got it? And that reconciliation is going to be confirmed by the truth that is manifested from you. That's why there's a lot of people out there beating people up with the Bible, trying to do salvation, planting seeds, but yet they can't walk it. No presence, no power. They walk around with a bag of seeds. Bag of seeds of salvation. They ain't cast out a devil in their life, and they ain't cast the ones out of them yet. They walk around with sickness, disease, and infirmities, and pray to God to heal them instead of casting out the devil. And God tries to bring across their path with the anointing. He tries to bring across a path to Christ, the anointed, those who are carrying the anointing. But, oh no, you're kidding, that's a cult. That's witchcraft. They pray in that funny language. No, that's eternal. We pray in an eternal language. It doesn't make us any better. It's got nothing to do with that. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And he engulfs individuals with fear, afraid to step. Listen, we got to go deeper. And that's what God is doing right now in the shift of the Spirit. He's causing us to go deeper in every area of our life. We have to go deeper now than we've ever gone before. We're going where no man has gone before. As a new creation, it's our responsibility to put on Christ. Cooperation with the anointing, the Spirit of Christ, will bring you deeper. The Bible says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Yes. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He who's been baptized in Christ can put on Christ. There's a lot of wannabe, but not willing to be. Those are called Willoughbys. There's a lot of wannabes, but not enough Willoughbys. That's what Jesus called to the gospel that Paul wrote. Those having a form of godliness, but denying the power. See, denying the power is denying what? The Christ. Come on, do you get this? They have a form of godliness. Woohoo! But they deny the power of God. They deny the Christ. They deny the presence, the power, and the truth. That's the anointing. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places where? In Christ, in the what? In the anointing. So how do you access these things? With the anointing. Hello? Listen, you can pray and fast for 6 years. You'll get there. But you won't be here if you fast for 6 years. In fact, you'll probably be there in 4 months. So if you want to really see Jesus face to face, just fast for 4 months. But there's another way you can see him. In the Spirit. In the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. You can see him where? In the anointing. Glory to God. And it says that you and I were blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the anointing. You know, many people go, oh, Lord, you know, come on, man, where's that blessing you got up there for me? No, it's in here, brother. It's already there. Look, at step back a little bit. Is the anointing bound by space and time? So if the anointing is not bound by space and time, are you? No. That's why it's so important to be positioned. See, when you are positioned, spiritually positioned, God is establishing you in the present fixing your past and preparing your future. See, now you're actually seated with Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and omnipresent with God Almighty, who was, who is, and whoever will be. Why? Well, come on, step back. Didn't he just create this whole place for you, for me and you? Galaxies, universes, and everything. You know, our peanut brain can't comprehend all this. In fact, it's hard to comprehend all this. I mean, when you really start comprehending, you know, you could explode. It's like touching 60 gazillion volts. Uh-oh, you got a revelation. So if you see people starting to go up in smoke, you know they got a good revelation. In verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of what? The world. So before the world was even founded, before it was even existed, he already chose me and you. See, we were already in Christ before we came. You see, he already came, died on a cross before he came. That's the only way you and I could come. Well, I didn't do that. Don't figure it out, man. Remember, this is eternal stuff, not temporary. This is not about religiosity. This is about an eternal kingdom. See, you don't even belong in this realm. That's why you have to sleep, right? Do spirits sleep? No. Are you a spirit? Well, why do you sleep? Because you're out of your position. You don't belong here, man. So now you must regenerate until you shed this flesh. So you regenerate every night and God speaks to you. Well, I don't remember. Well, ask him. He speaks to you in dreams and visions now. Revelations are revealed to you at night so you don't blow up. Having predestined us. Where are we anyways? Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So you are pre-accepted. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. He gets all people all messed up. Oh, man, you ain't nobody. Oh, where's the anointing in your life? You know why? Because people are trying to fight in God of a God of feeling instead of the God of truth. See, the devil switches off the anointing in your life by you just agreeing with him. Oh, man, I don't feel God anymore. Oh, Gucci goo. If you're looking for the God of feeling, you're in the wrong place. He's the God of truth. It didn't say feeling sets you free. It says truth sets you free. And the feeling you're looking for is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Freedom from torment is a wonderful feeling. Hello. You know, people are thinking, oh, well, I got to feel God all the time. And, you know, I just love to feel God all the time. And they call you 2 days later, oh my God, the devil is beating me up. Oh, I'm so oppressed. I can't believe what the devil's doing to me. Well, what about that anointing you just had 2 days ago? Did you just flush it? Hello? I got two words for you. It's called stop it. See, when you stop it, you get peace. Come on, give me a peace sign. Everybody say, just stop it. Then you get peace. Everybody okay? So you and I must be obedient and cooperate. Don't get granola. That's nutty and fruity. You're not going for the God of feeling. You're going for the God of truth, who carries the presence and the power and the truth. Ephesians 3. While we're in here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might through his Spirit, known as the Spirit of Christ, in the inner man. Hello. Why? Because the Bible says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, if you're miserable, don't tell anybody you know Jesus. Please. If you're afraid of dying, don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Go in your closet, get filled up, killed up. Hello? Get joyful. And then go out with joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Then you'll have dominion, power, truth, because the presence of the anointing is there. Has everybody got it? See, that's why you must stir yourself up, because the devil wants to unplug you all the time. You know one of the things he loves to tell you?
You didn't read the Bible enough today.
You didn't pray long enough. You didn't worship long enough. You didn't do this long enough. You didn't do that long enough. For some of you, it's true. But I pray for most of you that it's nothing but a lie from the devil. And when you agree with it, you start looking for the, uh-oh, goosebumps left. Oh, no. The anointing's gone. I've had people call me, oh, my God, the anointing's left for me. The Lord left me. Hallelujah. I don't want to tell you what I say, so praise God. Praise God. Is everybody okay? In verse 17, that what? Christ. Well, wait a minute. What's the Christ again? The anointing, which is the presence, power, and truth of the eternal one, right? That the what? The Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth of and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the what? Fullness of God, or the life of God. Why? Because the Christ is the life of God. It is the anointing. Everybody got it? Glory. Galatians 5. In verse 24. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Why? Because your feelings and your emotions will speak louder than God if you allow them to.
Well, I feel this.
Oh, no.
Yes, I just really feel like, you know, and I feel like, and I feel like, and I feel like.
Who told you that?
Well, the feeling.
Well, where'd that come from? It's amazing in how the devil moves people out of position so easily because of how they feel. And they actually believe that that feeling is from the Spirit. And they get moved out of position. See, God puts them under authority. In other words, God puts us under authority for a purpose. Now, if you can't submit to the authority that you see, how can you submit to the one you don't see? When you submit to authority, you have authority. When you reject authority, authority is rejected. Are you listening? That's why he puts offices in the body of Christ. Not to bring goosebumps. The Bible says that there are the offices in the body of Christ are to train up the saints. These are individuals that have gone through training themselves and so forth, are now training others. As you get trained up, you'll be training others. Amen? That's how it works. So if we're not submitting to authority, we have no authority. But it's amazing how many individuals will move by a feeling and reject the authority. Because pride now comes into effect. And then fear protects pride. Now they're afraid that they're going to lose something. People move out of position for jobs and opposite sex and money and all kinds of other things. They're willing to sell their soul for a feeling. And they don't even know it. Is everybody okay? Oh, praise God. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, that means living in the anointing, let us also walk in the anointing. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So everybody see this. The anointing separates the old man from the new. The anointing does what? It separates the old from the new. So if we're going to live in the Spirit or in the anointing, let us walk in the anointing. What do you mean by walking in it? Cooperating with it. Cooperating with the anointing. Now remember, the anointing is not just a presence, it's a person. So you're cooperating. You're living in the presence and power and truth of Christ, and you're cooperating with Him. You're obeying Him. You're submitting to Him in every area of your life. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? See, now Paul got powerful revelation. I actually think he blew up a few times. But he got powerful revelation. And he said, man, what I've gained right now, I don't care about my family. I don't care about nothing for what I've gained for the anointing. See, he learned to live in the anointing. He learned to live in the presence and the power and the truth of the Eternal One, the Timeless One. See, he didn't care about time anymore. In fact, he knew when he was going to die. Hello? Because he was living in the anointing. He wrote a letter to him saying, you know, my time's about up. He knew he was getting ready to go home. You know, I don't know if you've heard about some of these men and women of God. There was one man of God, very powerful, I think it was Lester Summerall. I think it was him. I could be mistaken, but I'm almost sure it was him. He knew when he was going to die. He got up on the congregation, sat up on a chair and told everybody he was going home and died. One day he went in his room. He was traveling overseas. He went in his room and he saw his bed was moved. He looked out his window and he saw a demon walking. He commanded that demon, come in and fix his room. I'm telling you. That demon came in and straightened his bed out. See, the thing is he knew who he was. He was living in the Spirit. He was living in the anointing. He didn't take no garbage from no devil. He didn't take no garbage from no shadow. People see their shadow. Whoa! Man. Philippians 3 and verse 7. Did we start this yet? Oh, yeah. Let's go to 8 then. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish, that I may gain, in other words, I want to gain more of the anointing. I want more. You know, even Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And I was like, what do you mean? How much more my glory you want to see? I want to see more, Lord. They were thirsty for more. He counted it rubbish for the gain of Christ. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in the anointing, Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Lovely. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? Press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us all, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? The mindset of no matter what it takes, you want the presence, power, and truth of the timeless one and the eternal one. Glory. And if in anything you think otherwise, you're an idiot. Anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the what? Same mind. See, we're all in the body of Christ should be of the same mind. Our purpose should be, first of all, is a desire to please God. Our desire, and not only that, is to know the mind of God. Everybody should want to know what God's thinking. And that's not going to be done unless you're in the anointing. See, you can read about his thoughts, but there's a lot more. How many of y'all know God thinks more than what's just written? Yeah. Philippians 4, verse 13. What does it say? Come on, everybody! I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, so when the devil says, you can't, there should be a you can't in your life. Has everybody got it? Well, I just can't do that. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I have two words for everybody who says I can't. Stop it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I was an individual, couldn't read. Couldn't read, man. When I was young, I mean, I was so frightened to read. Teacher asked me to read. Whew, the only thing they heard was my knees knocking. And I began to stutter. I'd be so afraid to read. And I wouldn't read books. I hated reading books. Give me a picture, I'll draw it. Give me a cartoon, I'll watch it. If the books didn't have enough pictures in there, I wouldn't go for it. I lived in visualization. Praise God, I live in visualization. I don't know. So there was some training to it. But after I got baptized and filled with the Spirit of God, and the Lord said, okay, now it's time. I want to teach you my word. I'm like, oh no. And he brought books across my path. And I said, do I have to read these? He said, yes. These men and women have gone through stuff in 40 years, and I can feed you what they went through in 40 years in 2 hours. I said, okay. And I began to read, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is tough. I can't even remember the last chapter. It felt like I was taking forever to read the book. And the Lord says, and I'd say, man, I just can't. Ah! Holy Spirit would say, you can do all things through Christ. You have the anointing. Does everybody understand? You have the anointing. And he said, I want you to start. Do not say you can't. I never want to hear you say you can't. I said, okay, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, I read more books in 1 year than I did my whole life. I didn't, and I'd be reading, he'd say, press, don't agree with that. Because the devil would say, man, aren't you tired of reading, man? Come on, you can't read that, you can't pronounce, no, oh, I can do all things through Christ. He puffed. He got revelation. He got revelation that I got revelation. See, so my revelation caused him to go poof. And I kept saying, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And anything you do, you never say you can't. You always say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So everybody got it. No limitations no more. Colossians 2. Too many people give up in their sicknesses. They let the sicknesses continue to overtake them. Oh, I guess I'm just going to stay sick forever. No. You're not going to stay sick forever. You're going to die and go home and you'll be healthy. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? Colossians 2 and verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? Beware, hello, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to the anointing. Has everybody got it? See, the world's going to, I'm telling you, you can go into, we're going to go with this. You know, people go to these seminars, which is the stir you up ones, you know. What do you call those? Motivational. Motivational seminars, yes. A bunch of motivation, you walk out there and you get drained. You go for about 2 days and you can't go any further. It's motivational. It's not truth. Hello. There's a difference between truth and motivation. You can get your emotions all motivated and have high expectations. The problem is those motivational things give you such high expectations, but when they're not met, you go down. Hello? And many of them have a form of godliness, but it's still a motivation. Your motivation can only be inspired by the Spirit of the living God. Does everybody understand that? Your motivation is inspired by the living God. And when you praise and worship God, and you pray in tongues, and you stir yourself up, you're getting motivated. Man, you start looking for demons. I got to cast one out before I kill somebody. You're motivated. In verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are what? Complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, which is the anointing. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all of your trespasses, having wiped out the handwritten of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Does everybody see that? So let no one judge you in drink, in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. In other words, your substance now, the substance, listen, is the anointing. Now I want you to understand that the anointing is tangible. Hello. The anointing is tangible. He is a person, and he is tangible. You will feel the touch. You will sense his presence. And sometimes there's not even a touch, there's just a sense of his presence. Even when you worship the Lord, you begin to weep. You didn't feel anything. What you got was freedom. All of a sudden, there was a sense of release, torment, leaving. And all of a sudden, you just know that you know that you know that God loves you. and he's there, and his presence and anointing is there, and his truth is in there. All of a sudden, you begin to hear his voice. And just hearing his voice alone, just to hear his voice alone, you can get healed. Just to hear his voice alone. I'll never forget when I busted up my leg and he said, "Guy, walk." Of course, as soon as I put my leg down, I almost went through the ceiling. But then I felt like Peter, and I said, "Lord, you got to command me to walk." And he looked at me, and I saw him, and he said, "I command you to walk." Now, I just came from the doctor's 2 days ago, two days prior to this, and they told me I'd be out for 4 months, and I always have an indentation in my leg. 2 days later, the Lord commanded me to walk. Those crutches were gone. When he commanded me to walk, I stepped on that leg. I stepped on that leg again. I stepped on it again. Did a little Holy Ghost shuffle. And it ran around the building. And God healed me. And my wife was happy. See, there's a tangible presence. He is tangible. His presence, his power, and his truth. See, his presence is always there. He wants to release his power, and by releasing his power, his truth is expressed. Is everybody with me? Colossians 3, verse 1. Glory. If then you were raised with Christ. Now, isn't this wild? It says, if you were raised with Christ. Is that past? Yeah. Some of them, well, when was I raised with Christ? Remember, this is timeless. You were raised with Christ. Well, I don't remember. Well, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's written. You can read all about it when you get home. Right now, just trust God that you were already raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your what? Your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Say, I'm an eternal light. You're no longer a humanite. I'm an eternal light. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, would you read it with me? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So, we are talking about the anointing, the Christ. So the Christ comes into the world, right? So if the Christ came into the world, who else came into the world? The Father, the Spirit. They all understand that. So that's why Jesus could only, he was the one that said, if you see me, you see the Father. Because he was the Spirit of the Almighty. Somebody got it. God took a part of himself out of his bosom and sent forth, called himself Son. to come into the world from a timeless place to a place bound by time, into the natural realm. He came to bring the anointing, to set the captives free from the bondage of time. He came to bring the anointing that carries the presence, the power, and the truth. He came to bring the anointing. Does everybody understand that? Yes, salvation is wonderful. But what good is salvation without the anointing? Hello? Salvation is just the beginning. People are all happy they're saved. Whippy. That's good. I'm glad you're saved. Are you anointed? Are you born again? You know, there's a difference between saved and born again, and I'm not going there right now. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's born again. Hello? Now you must maintain that status of born again state of being. See, there's three chambers in the tabernacle. And there's an area. And you can look at your sheet. Everybody has sheets there, right? You can see where the eternal, the Christ, enters into the universe of time and space. You can see where he baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, on the cross is where he released his spirit, the spirit of Christ, for me and you. And the spirit of Christ was released at a certain feast, because all the seven feasts of the Lord are so important and specific. You can look at the bottom, it says the feast of the Lord, there's Passover, unleavened, first fruits, Pentecost. So Jesus had to go through the chambers. He had to fill each chamber of the tabernacle. Does everybody understand that? So that he could release his spirit, known as the spirit of Christ, for me and you. And he did that on the feast of Pentecost. So we see here that the anointing is the eternal presence and the power and the truth, right? On the cross, he made the exchange. He took your presence for his. Do you understand that? And the next one is the power. Now you may think, well, why isn't it along with the truth? Because the power, he descended to hell and overcomes with the power. Without the power of God, you can't overcome. And he raises from the dead. And the truth is that when the presence and the power are there, truth is always expressed. Has everybody got it? Truth is what? Always expressed. It's always manifested. That's why truth sets you free. Yes. Because it's the eternal presence of God. It's the anointing. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I have a lot more, but I'm going to go to just these couple scriptures here and we're done. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, is the what? Last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. So now that we know what Christ is, what's Antichrist? Comes against the presence, power, and the truth. Hello. Everybody got it? Now there are sweet people who are bound by the spirit of Antichrist and don't even know it. They're bound by tradition. They've got, let me tell you, the spirit of Antichrist always puts limitations. The spirit of Antichrist is not Satan. Are you listening? He is a spirit. Now, the spirit dwells in just about everything because it's coming against the anointing. See, the demons hate the anointing because they acknowledge the anointing. When Jesus got off the boat, walked on the land, all the demons freaked out. Oh, here's the Christ. The Son of the Most High God. It isn't our time. They freaked out. Why? Because they saw the anointing. See, the demons see the anointing in you. But they also know what you think. So even though they see the anointing in you, they look at you going, uh-oh. Ooh. They don't even know they're anointed. Then they torment you. And they torment you in the mind. And they convince you. Yeah, that's what we got. Does everybody understand this? See, because they know. It's amazing how many people are telling people the devils can't read your mind. Baloney, they can't read your mind. They're a spirit and so are you. If you've ever stood before an angel, he knows exactly what you're thinking. You don't have to say a word. Before you can even say it, he's already answered you. Hello? The little children is the last hour. There are many antichrists. Even now many antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? All things, if you're listening, if you're cooperating, if you're obeying. Has everybody got it? I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know the truth. And that no lie is of the truth. I have two words for you. Stop it. Who is a liar? But he who denies Jesus is the what? Anointed one in his anointing. He is the Christ. He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So the life of God is in the anointing. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, manipulate you, mislead you, bind you with traditions. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And I love it because he calls him an anointing, the anointing him. Does anybody understand this? Oh, I got a lot more. Let's close at one scripture, okay? Mark 16. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. Yeah. It's flowing my way. It's a season of power. Yes. And prosperity. It's a new season. And it's called for you and me. Come on, I'm not going to leave you out of it now. We share it. Mark 16. Come on, let's all read it together. Verse 6. So let me see here. 16:16. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now you got to understand something. He's not talking about the baptism of water. The baptism of water will not cast out a devil. It allows you access in to the kingdom to learn to get access to the anointing. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Because the anointing, it is the life of God, is bringing life to somebody. The presence and the power and the truth. So the truth of the life of God is being manifested when you're casting out a devil, when you're laying hands on the sick, when you're speaking in tongues to the Heavenly Father, when you're speaking directly to God. You are speaking eternal things now. You're bringing eternity into the present. Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody. That's why I was able to write all the revelations of the new book. Of the New Testament. Look at all the revelations he got in the New Testament. He talked about the mysteries of Christ and so forth. So there is so much more, and God wants to bring us deeper. And in this season, and this season is going to be a long season, you're going to see many things begin to unfold. Many things. And we are going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not our own. But all things are ours. Because the Father has given Jesus all things, and Jesus gave all things to the anointing. And the anointing is delivering them to me and you. But you got to be in position. You got to be willing to press in. You got to be willing to submit. There's no lone ranger out there. That's why it's so important in unity and the Spirit and fellowshipping. See, tonight we eat, Friday we drink. Does everybody get it? We eat and we drink. Why? Because you're having communion. Don't we have communion on Sunday, don't we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your faithfulness. We ask, Lord, that the anointing would increase in our life, the substance of the Eternal One would make himself more and more present in our life. Lord, visit us, establish us, and perfect us. Help us come to the end of ourself, that Christ, the fullness of Christ, the life of God, will be manifested in us and through us, and that Jesus would receive all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.